Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for grabbing your latest episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. Pam and I are getting ready to answer your listener questions. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my antiquated iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to a mere 112 days till we arrive for Marathon Weekend 2018 going dopey. You can get excited for that next trip too. And remember, this is going to work great on that new iPhone that's coming out here soon. It's going to look great on any Apple device. You can customize the colors, the font. You can customize the message, the pictures. You can get an audio alert each and every day. It's a great app. Every Disney fan needs this on their Apple device. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1223 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Man, it's been a wild, few days here in the Disney community. All of our friends down in the Southeast. I hope that you made it through Irma safe and sound without too much damage to your property. Folks that are tuning in down at Walt Disney World, hopefully you're trips haven't been delayed too much. I know Disney has really gone above and beyond to try to make the experience as pleasant as possible. We'll talk about that a little bit on Friday. But of course, you're here because you write questions and we make up. Now, we have actually some pretty decent answers. Sometimes, every once in a while, like 12%, we just make up. But other than that, the other 88%, spot on. So joining me today, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, who is, you know what, with Irma, I would not even be surprised if Pittsburgh went under a hurricane warning. As far north as that went, I couldn't believe it. Ricky's not here because her power may be out right now in Atlanta. So what's going on, Pam?
I'll keep you all abreast of any developments in terms of Irma reaching Pittsburgh. No, but I'm happy to see that so much of Florida sustained less damage than was predicted. So that's glad. I know that there were still people who were impacted by this, and that's always sad to see. So really glad that we had the opportunity to help so many guests move their trips and still make things magic happen. I mean, nobody wants to have to cancel their trip. So, and weather is sometimes so out of your control. So anyways, it was, great to be working in partnership with guests to try to make that magic happen. And I'm happy to be here on Wednesday. And I cannot confirm or deny the 12% answer makeup rate. I will just say the 12, whether that 12% is accurate.
Oh, it varies from week to week, to be honest. So,
so is that an average? You're saying just like an average of 12% is made up.
It's a 9-year average. We're recording live on Facebook as we record the podcast, as we do. And I see that Layla's checking in. She's down in Puerto Rico. So glad you made it through the storm. So glad to see our good friend Michelle, absolutely, who's down on the southeastern coast of Florida, hanging in there with us today. So glad to see you. Patrick's down in Texas. They're still bouncing back from Harvey. It's just been a rough few weeks. But let's have a little distraction here by answering your listener questions. First one's coming in today from Massachusetts. It's Giselle. She says, hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I just recently started listening to your podcast, so forgive me if this has already been covered in the past. We might be going back to Disney this January of 2018 for a short visit, and we would love to add a day at Universal to check out Harry Potter. I know, Mike, you'll have to forgive me, but maybe Pam or Ricky can help me out. All right, well, you know what, Ricky?
Would love to.
All right, so Pam's on point here. My oldest daughter, who is 9 years old, just recently finished all the Harry Potter books. Husband and I are fans as well. We also have a 7-year-old daughter that is somewhat interested. We were in Disney in June of 17, and we're really sad we didn't make it to Universal. My daughter got her wand at the store in the airport, and we promised we would make this happen on our next trip. See, I'm against wands in airports, too. I digress anyway. I don't know if that's safe.
They're better than light.
I guess. I don't know. So we might be able to squeeze in a day at Universal. Not planning on switching hotels since it's a short visit of just 5 nights. We plan to do 2 to 3 Disney parks as well. How should I tackle this? Especially transportation, types of park tickets, where to eat. Are there Harry Potter restaurants? Are the Harry Potter restaurants worth it? And things we shouldn't miss at Universal. Thanks for your help, Giselle. All right, Pam, this one is all up your alley. So give us some wizarding words about Harry Potter.
Well, so the way to tackle this in particular is there are tickets that do include transportation for your family. The other thing you could do is purchase tickets and then take an Uber over to Universal. So those are both things to consider. Easy peasy, really. And when you're looking at Universal, because you only have one day, the things that you're going to want to make sure that you have is, first of all, a park-to-park ticket. And that will allow you access to both of the theme parks, both Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios. I know that some of our guests know that there are two main theme parks and then a huge water park as well. Actually, three theme parks for Universal Orlando Resort, and those are the way that the tickets are sold. So consider that. The reason why you're going to want a park-to-park ticket is because one of the main attractions in the Wizarding World is the Hogwarts Express, and that travels from one theme park to another. So if you don't have the park-to-park ticket, you won't be able to experience that. And I think it's worth experiencing. In addition to the park-to-park tickets, the one thing you may want to consider based on when you're traveling and how busy it is that you are able to purchase a Universal Express Pass, which allows you front-of-the-line entrance to most of the attractions one time. If you stay on site at some of the premier hotels, you have, of course, get Universal Express with your hotel stay. But if you're not staying on site, they do make something similar available, although it's not quite identical, because when you're on site, you can visit those attractions again and again and again throughout the day with the Express Pass that you add on to your ticket. You can only do it once per attraction, but still, it's really worth something, you know, investing in something if that's what you're looking for. And again, depending on the time of year and how busy it will be. Now, I'm shoving a lot of Universal in here. I'm surprised at how quiet Mike's being. So I'm trying to shove a lot in.
I'm playing with the chat room, so go ahead. I'm just messing around. Go ahead. Just let me know we're done.
So as far as restaurants go, there are two restaurants in the Wizarding World. One is in Hogsmeade, and that's the Three Broomsticks. And then one is over in Diagon Alley, and that is the Leaky Cauldron. And I think that both are really good. I will give kind of a nod to maybe the Leaky Cauldron in terms of the fare, but look at the menus. They're online. Actually, the Mouse for Less has both of them online. The Mouse for Less is actually more than the mouse. I often wonder if we should change that name. But anyways, they're there, and you can look at the fare and see which one kind of appeals to you more. But they're both kind of cool, and they really are inspired by the restaurants that you read about in the books and see in the movies. So there's so much to do and see. If you do not have an interactive wand, that may be something else that you want to buy before you get there, or you can buy it once you get there. Throughout the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, there are different locations where you can do some wand movements, and certain really cool things will happen within the park. So that's kind of cool. You'll want to visit all the shops because they all have great things, and especially the candy shops and Fred and George's shop. And make sure you see that dragon, because that's one of the coolest things that's at any theme park. So whatever you do, go and enjoy and have a great time.
Absolutely. Shorter lines for me over at Space Mountain. You know, so I see it. Anyway, now I'm going to get over there. I don't know. I want to see the other stuff besides Harry Potter. Just not into the wizard stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Once you see it, you will be. It's like you stepped into the movie. It's incredible. So
I'll trust you. All right. So in the chat, Charles is asking, and again, we don't have any hard answers for this because as the time we're recording, we record these ahead of time. Charles is asking what we know about the Disney cruises moving forward, because during Hurricane Irma, we had the Dream and the Fantasy kind of take shelter down south of Cuba. It was kind of interesting. If you had the Marine, I forget what the name of that app is. It's something Marine, but locator or something. But you could see all of the cruise ships, you know, that sail out of Florida, all kind of in a big parade down towards like Cozumel, you know, and down south of Cuba, kind of in that area to take shelter from Irma. So, Pam, what advice would you have somebody that's cruising here in the next week or so as far as where do you go to find out what's happening with your future cruise? Is it happening? Is it running a modified itinerary? Because Eastern Caribbean cruises most likely will be, I would imagine, with the damage in St. Martin. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think we're really just kind of in a wait and see pattern at this point. There's going to be announcements made. Typically, your travel agent or they'll sometimes email directly. The guest will get a notice via email. Oftentimes on the Disney Cruise Line site, there will be an advisory maybe up near the top that you can click on to get more information. I don't think we're going to know what kind of states the ports are in or what kind of plans that Disney is and other cruise lines are making to address, you know, some of the ports that were impacted. I mean, St. Martin, and seeing that, it was really kind of heartbreaking. And a bunch of the agents and I had been there just a couple of years ago. We had stopped it to watch the planes, of course, take off there in St. Martin. And we actually were right there at that bar. I remember that day so fondly, and it was really heartbreaking to see. We really hope that things are up and moving quickly, but you just don't know. So Disney Cruise Line always will make a decision based on what's best for the guests and what's, you know, important for their safety and just, you know, making sure that the guests have a great experience. The worst, I'll put worst in quotes because it's not really the worst that can happen, is sometimes there's an additional sea day if some of the ports aren't available to stop at, and that's never ever a bad thing on a Disney cruise. A good thing to note that if you have any port charges, port taxes that were paid because of you were going to stop at a port and you don't stop there for one reason or another, those will be refunded to you. But Disney Cruise Line always does a great job in keeping guests happy. I know that they're not going to want to cancel any more cruises. So, you know, as part of the cruise contract, of course, they can make changes at any time, and they'll make ones that I think will make most of the guests happy.
All right, let's get back to the inbox. It's Julie. Hey, Pam, Mike, and Ricky. We've been listening to the show for years and years now, not since the beginning, but close. I don't think I've ever written in with a question. We'll most likely be returning to Walt Disney World in late November to early December of 2018. We have four children who are currently 14, 12, 6, and 5. All but my youngest are boys. I promised my little girl that sometime when she is older, we can go on a girls' trip together. But for now, I thought on our next trip, we could have a girls' day. I thought we could do the tea at the Grand Floridian, but what other things might you recommend? Sure, we could just go to the Magic Kingdom together, but do you have any other ideas? Not interested in the bibbidi-bobbidi or insane bank-breaking activities. Just something fun to do with my little girl, possibly things the boys wouldn't be interested in. Thanks and love you guys. Julie's in South Jersey. Absolutely nowhere near Pittsburgh, she says. I love this. Everyone's hopping in on that now. Okay, there you go. So, Julie, thanks. I know Julie's been with us forever.
It cracks me up. I love it. In fact, we got to get t-shirts made.
Excellent.
I live in blank, which is nowhere near Pittsburgh.
That's right. And most people probably that is true. So, you know what? So one of my people that I want to go to on this question, and I'm going to try to get some feedback from her on our Facebook group, is one of our great friends. She's kind of like the team mom for the lizards, Jocelyn, because she has this tradition with her family. She's got three beautiful girls. They're amazing young ladies. And she has a tradition. She just got back from, I think, the third of the three. She takes her daughters down there for like a quick just mom and me trip. And she just got back with Beans. I like Beans. She cracks me up because
I got to see them.
Yeah, you got to see them down there. I just love Beans. I love calling her and she cracks up. So anyway, she's the youngest, but Jocelyn has taken each girl down for like just like a weekend trip, you know, extended weekend where it's just about that one kid and, you know, they're girls in this case. But I think she's off to a good start with like the tea at the Grand Floridian. Pam, of course, you've done this because, you know, you've had Hannah. I mean, you've had experience with the mom and me stuff. So what would you suggest?
I love that you're doing the tea. Hannah used to love that. And the great news is for little girls who don't appreciate or enjoy tea or special tea in the teapot, and that is chocolate milk. So it pours out. Who doesn't like chocolate milk? So anyways, they're thinking of everything there. While you're at the Grand Floridian, one of the things you may want to do, now you said you weren't interested in Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or any of the really expensive things, but if you're interested in anything like that, there is a salon at the Grand Floridian called the Ivy Trellis, and they do kind of less expensive, not Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, but different treatments that are available for moms and daughters if you would like to try something in that. Or at the Grand Floridian Spa, they actually have some treatments that are available for younger kids and their moms too. So think about something like that. Some of them are actually not too unreasonable. So something to think about there. I think girls, you know, a lot of girls and their moms enjoy maybe shopping a little more than the dads do. So that may be something you want to do. You could easily do kind of a monorail tour around each of those resorts there and stop at each of the shops and do things like that, or go over to Disney Springs, try something like that. And then I think it's kind of cool that, why don't you ask your daughter if there's something that she wants to do? We always used to have a day when Hannah was younger where she would plan like the whole day on what we did. And it was really curious and interesting to see the things that she chose to do. I remember she would like choose, like, I want to do this attraction. And maybe if it's her favorite attraction, maybe that would be a great thing to do. But I think that your kids sometimes surprise you with those things, the things that they want to do. But whatever it is, have a fantastic time. It sounds like a great tradition, and I absolutely love it.
All right, let's get to Robin's question. She is in Wake Forest, North Carolina. She says, hello, Be Our Guest podcast team. I've recently found your podcast, and I absolutely love it. I am traveling to Walt Disney World the first week in October with my husband's whole family, 13 of us from ages 63 to 4 years old. We are so incredibly excited. We're arriving on Saturday, September 30th, but staying in an area hotel that night. We'll check into Pop on the Sunday, October 1st. My plan is for us to get up Sunday morning and head to the Magic Kingdom for the morning before we can check out our hotel. Question one. If we drive over to the Magic Kingdom to park but haven't checked into our hotel yet, will we have to pay for parking, or is there some way for them to know that we're staying on site? I've already done the online check-in for all of us, or should we park at Pop and then take the bus over? All right, Pam, what would your suggestion be? Because they're assuming the room will not be ready because they're going over very early. They're staying local the night before, but want to drive over to the Magic Kingdom to start the day. What would you do?
So there are two things that you can consider. First of all, even if your room's not ready, you can go ahead and check in at Pop Century in person when you arrive there. There's no harm in doing that. All they'll do is confirm all your details, check out your dining plan, make sure all your credits look right, scan your Magic Bands, make sure everything looks like it's set up properly. And we actually advise most of our guests to do that just because every now and then there's kind of a little quirky thing that happens or a glitch that happens. And by checking in at your resort, it's a very short process, probably less than 2 minutes. They can just confirm that everything looks okay and you can be on your way. The other thing you can do is, because you are staying at a Disney resort that day and you have done online check-in, when you get to the Magic Kingdom, the booth for parking, you can have them scan your Magic Band and they should be able to see that you are staying at a Disney resort and therefore they will not charge you. So those are your two options.
Those are good options. But here's what I would do if this was me, because I have a large party. Just park the cars at Pop Century and take a bus, because the Magic Kingdom is the one park where it's easier to actually to ride a bus. They're going to drop you off closer. You won't have to 100%. Deal with the TTC. So, you know, if you're going to Epcot or one of the other parks, I'd say no problem. You know, do exactly what you said. But with Magic Kingdom, where you, so you can bypass the TTC, get right in there, because, you know, it's their first like moment of their vacation. They're getting ready to rock and have a good time. So I just leave the car and just, you know, like you said, check in. Make sure everything's good on the band and then jump on a bus, because you're already there. You actually, it would take you more time to go back to the car. You know, once you check in, you can just walk right to the bus stops. So that's what I'd do.
Great.
All right. So your question two, can we start using our dining plan Sunday morning? We're planning on grabbing something quick from Main Street for breakfast. If you have any extra tips for us, since we are such a large group, please try to send them my way. Thanks for your help, Robin. All right. So yes, you can. As soon as you check in, you can use, here's the thing, I think a lot of guests don't know this, maybe that are unfamiliar with the Disney dining plan. Maybe you've never used it and you've just, you know, you know the basics of it. But I don't think everybody knows this, that if you wanted to, now you don't want to do this. Don't say that I told you to do this. You could go on Main Street and like buy the first 15 strangers, you know, hey, I'll meet you back at the plaza. We're going to have lunch, you know, and burn through all your table service credits. You could. You'd have lots of friends there for, you know, about 2 hours, but then you'd be sad the rest of the week. So those, you know, you talk about how many credits you get and it's associated with how many nights you stay at your hotel, but they don't say you get one. You can't, you know, they're not saying you can only use one per night of your stay. You can burn all 7 day one if you really wanted to, and then pay out of pocket the rest of the time. So it's a pool of credits you can use however you want from the time you check in till midnight the night you check out. But any advice, you know, as far as other things for them to think about, large group and also using the dining plan, Pam?
So the dining plan, as Mike mentioned, is really flexible in that space. And the other thing I want to mention about the dining plan is that you can get a big old honking cinnamon roll and it's a snack credit. Boom! Yes. I mean, you don't even have to use like whatever. In fact, at Starbucks, they have a lot of options available for breakfast. And not only is your coffee, and you can get the hugest coffee that they have with pumps and shots and whipped whatever. Not only is that a snack credit, but then you can get a lot of food items as a snack credit. So, I mean, I think that's a great use of two snack credits, a big old coffee because you're going to need it or whatever the drink of your choice. And then, you know, get one of the other options there. But I mean, you know, like Mike said, it is flexible in that space. You can use all your credits in one day if you want to. I hope you don't do that, though. So anyways, have fun. And traveling with a big group, it's always so much fun. I just say, don't feel like you have to do everything together. That's our biggest piece of advice. Because you know what? By day two, you're sick of some people. I'm just saying.
At least day three.
It might be sick of you.
It could be day three. But I would say, too, you know, going along with that, that you don't have to stay together all the time. Take advantage of, you know, Disney's transportation system, you know, because if somebody gets tired, needs a nap, you just walk up, catch a bus, you're back at the hotel. You don't have to say, well, who's got the car? Who's got this? You know, it really makes it easy to get back and chill out. So have a great time. Let us know how it goes. I can't wait to hear about that. Next up's Allison. She's from Noblesville, Indiana, a place that we know pretty well. We were just there a couple weeks ago for the Indy Disney meet. It was awesome. Over $20,000 raised by those great folks for Give Kids the World. She says, hi there. I'm not sure where the best place is to send in a question, but here goes. And this actually came to our Facebook page. First of all, it was great meeting you all at the Indy Disney meet. My question is as follows. We have a Florida trip planned starting September 13th, but we're planning, this one's just in time because it's today, but we're planning to arrive at the world Monday the 18th. I'll be upgrading to an annual pass upon arrival and thought we would do that on the 18th at the studios and then just go into the park. We do not have the memory maker, but my understanding is once we have the annual pass, we will once we have the annual pass. Does this start right away or is there a delay with the memory maker? We're only going to be in the world 5 days, including one Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, and I want to make sure that we get the photos. Would it be worth the hour or so drive to Disney Springs or a park, maybe the Friday before, to go ahead and upgrade the ticket to get the memory maker in motion? Thanks so much. I look forward to the little Disney you bring throughout the podcast each week. Again, Allison's in Noblesville. It was great meeting everybody in out at the Indy Disney meet. We're so lucky to get there. Can't wait to go back next year. It was definitely a highlight of the year for me. All right, so talk about that real quick, because it sounds like they're going to be in Florida, but not going to be there until like later. And she's worried about getting those. Well, let's just the crux of the problem is when you upgrade a Magic Your Way ticket to an annual pass, how does that work with Memory Maker?
So the way it has been working, and this is always subject to change, love to put that in there. We learned that from Disney. As soon as you upgrade, bam, your memory maker is available. The system recognizes that your ticket has changed, and the memory maker starts right then. So unless something changes between now and when you travel, which it shouldn't, but you should be good to go with that. And, you know, I haven't heard about that not working anymore. So that is absolutely the way it should work.
All right, let's get to the next question. It's Dan from Secaucus, New York. Hey, everyone. I have a question about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I know that party ticket holders can get into the Magic Kingdom at 4 p.m. with the party starting at 7. My question is, at what point can you start queuing up for character meet and greets for the party? The characters are a main focus for my family at the party, and I know the lines will be a challenge. Is there an advantage in getting into the park early to see the most characters? Thanks, Dan. All right, so this is, you know, because I saw this one come in because it's a real quick short when I was reading it the other day. I was thinking about it because I've been to the Halloween party a few times, but I can't imagine. I remember if you were there that day and you were just kind of continuing on for the party, you would have to queue up to get the wristband, you know, so that you could stay in the park. But what do you know, Pam, about queuing up for the characters? Because I don't know that you can really prior to 7 much, can you?
I don't know if they have that started now. I know there are like a few kind of characters that like, you know, we're going to be there. For instance, the Christmas parties, you know, you can go ahead and like line up for Santa and things like that, because he gets popular. Santa, it's Santa.
Yeah, of course.
He's a popular guy. So anyways, but I do think that you can absolutely start lining up before, but I don't know what time that is. Like, I don't know if there's this, you know, if it starts right at 4 o'clock or not. And I wouldn't think it would start quite that early. I just don't think it will, because then they'd have folks lining up that didn't even have admission to the character events. The other thing you're going to want to do is absolutely start making sure that you know which characters are going to be there on the Times Guide. And on your app, I'm sure that they'll have, you know, a list of the characters that are going to be there. But if you want to meet as many of them as possible, then you are going to have to, you know, come up with a plan of attack. And that's the way to go. I'm not sure what time you can start lining up, but come up with a plan of attack and figure out when you're going to start lining up for things and when you want to, you know, experience some of the other attractions. I mean, I understand the appeal. There are so many characters there on Party Nights and some rare ones too. So good luck.
And our good friend Nikki, who is from the UK, but she is currently down at Walt Disney World. She was at All Stars the other night. I saw her kind of right before the storm hit, having a beer at the bar. I guess that's a good thing to do pre-hurricane. I don't know. Have a hurricane. Who knows? You know, it was just a beer, but I'd probably go with a hurricane. Yeah. But she's saying they queue up about an hour and a half before some of the photo ops, especially for things like Seven Dwarves, when they have all the dwarves and I guess Snow White out there, because that's probably the most popular. That isn't always. Are they out for
and
the Halloween
Jack and
party?
Sally.
Jack and Sally, yeah, Skellington.
There you go. That's right. Good. Crazy. I'm glad that you've done it, Nikki.
90 minutes. Whew. Okay. Goodness. Yeah, love those dwarves. All right, Matt's up next. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My wife, daughter, who's 7 years old, and I will be traveling to the world in October, and we'll be on the quick service dining plan. This is our first time using any of the dining plans. My daughter is a very adventurous eater, I wouldn't know what that's like, and does not like the usual kids' menu fare. Do you know if we can upgrade her to an adult on the dinner by plan so she doesn't have to order off the kids' menu? I've been told that Disney does not break the credits down into adult kid credits, but I would have moral issues using kid credits for adult meals. Thank you for putting out such a great show and doing so on a consistent schedule. Thanks, Matt. Well, Matt, we love doing the show. It's the highlight of my week. Honestly, I love. I still, after 9 years, this is just like I'm like a kid in a candy store here. I love doing this. All right, so Pam, talk them through the quick service dining plan, having a kid, having adults, how that all works.
Well, the good thing is that Disney pulls those credits. So you don't have to have any moral dilemma about it. They absolutely, there is no differentiating between the kids' credits and the adults' credit. So you'll be able to order adult meals wherever you like. The other good news is there are so many locations that have much more than a burger or hot dog or chicken fingers at the quick service locations. I mean, I'm going to mention it again because Ricky and so many others do such a great job maintaining the menus over at the Mounds for Less, but check out the menus over there. I mean, there's some great quick service locations that have all kinds of different things for kids to eat. I mean, it's really not just your hot dogs and things like that, especially at Animal Kingdom. I think that there are some, you know, some really great choices in terms of items that kids can order. Yak and Yeti too. I'll say something about that too, but there's just a lot of good choices for kids. Disney has come a long, long way from just offering kids fare available to kids. And just, you know, I just want to give you kind of an option. Like they, you know, they do have things like chicken sandwiches and Uncrustable sandwiches. Then they have things like, you know, chicken drumsticks and other things, like even at Flame Tree, which is just, you know, a standard kind of quick service location. So just make sure you check out those menus, but there's no need to have a moral dilemma. It's all okay. Disney did it on purpose. So
that's right. Because they want to give you flexibility. And so that gives that mm-hmm. option. So,
yep.
I've always ordered adult menus with kids or adult meals when we were on the dining plan, and Paige was 9 for more than 365 days. That's all I'm going to say about that. My Disney experience fixed that problem. But anyway, Bev's got the next question. And those of us that have been going to Walt Disney World for a very long time are probably like, my kid was 9 for 12 years. You know, they just graduated college and now they're 10. Anyway, Bev says, perhaps it's a podcast question. Okay, we were talking about some of the stuff planning her trip out together. But she says she's wondering how much time we can expect to wait at the food kiosks at Food & Wine. Were they going to be there towards the end of the festival and plan to stop by for a bit during each of the 4 days that we'll be at Walt Disney World? We're hoping to be able to graze in lieu of some sit-down meals, but we also have 2 school-age kids who are not exactly the biggest of foodies nor accustomed to waiting. Will they have some activities for kids to help pass the time in line? So I thought this was a good one. I told Bev I'd ask you, Pam, because you are fresh back from the beginning of the festival. So what would you offer, Bev, from your, again, it gets more crowded though as the festival goes on at the end. I would expect the waits to be a little bit longer, but what would you see?
If you can get there soon after 11, you're going to experience your least time waiting in the lines. That's just how it goes as the day progresses. The lines absolutely get longer, as Mike suggested. I think there are some cool things for kids to try, even, you know, at most of the booths. They might not, you know, be a very adventurous eater, but there's always like a dessert, and those were really good. Just all kinds of things like that that are great. So I think, you know, your kids will find some things to do. There's also activities. Make sure you get one of the masks so that your kids can color those at each of the real pavilions that are in Epcot, the ones that are there all the time. There's also a little food and wine festival passport that you can get. And the beauty of that is they used to stamp them, and thank goodness they've stopped doing that. In fact, they stopped doing that last year. But at each for each booth, there is a sticker in the middle. So I would give both of my kids one of those passports. And as we stopped at each booth, you know, encourage them to put the sticker on. That takes a little bit of time, and everyone loves activities like that. So those are some things that I would do.
Yeah, I'd set the kids on a mission like that. When it comes to, you know, filling out a map or collecting stamps, you know, like a passport style, that's a good tip. And that way you can enjoy the foods you want. Because, you know, if you're down there during the Food and Wine Festival, it's kind of a shame not to at least take part in the festival for some of the time that you're there. Because, you know, for those folks who get to go down, you know, more than once in a lifetime, it's cool to see these special events, whether it's a Halloween party, a Christmas party, some kind of a fireworks event, you know, Food and Wine Festival, Flower and Garden, the Arts Festival in January. I mean, Pam, don't you agree that Disney does this? I think it's a real big draw for the locals, which I get because, you know, give people a reason to come out throughout the year. But also, it's going to plus your experience at Epcot, especially when it comes something to Food and Wine, because there's great food to be had back in World Showcase 365 days a year. But you get the opportunity to really expand on that, you know, for maybe 3 months out of, you know, in the fall every year.
Oh, yeah. It is. It does enhance your experience at Epcot, because really, I think part of coming to know a culture or learning something about a culture is to experience the food. And there's no better time than at Food and Wine Festival to do that, because Disney really does a great job of kind of exposing you to some different dishes and experiencing them. And I think that it helps you learn a little bit about the, you know, that country too. So it's a great time. I love it. It is. It's just like plussing Epcot. They've taken Epcot and they've plussed it. So love it. Love Food and Wine. Love Flower and Garden and all the other little festivals they want to shove into Epcot. It's awesome.
That's it. All right. Katie's got the last question today. Hey, Mike, I found your podcast about a month ago and love it. I love all of our new listeners. That's so awesome. So glad to have you. I've listened to more episodes than I care to admit in that short amount of time. I really enjoy listening to you and Pam and Ricky answer listener questions, and I finally have one or two of my own. Welcome to the show, Katie. My husband and I will be traveling down in November with our two daughters, almost two and almost five, and staying at the Contemporary from November 10th through the 18th. We'll actually be arriving on the 9th and staying at another resort on property before switching over. We'd like to take advantage of the many great food options down there, including character dining and signature dining. And we're pretty set on doing a deluxe dining plan, but now I'm second guessing myself. Unfortunately, due to a change in plans, we had to push our trip up, and we are already within the 180 days when we settled on those dates. We do have a good amount of reservations booked, including quite a few that would be 2 points, including California Grill, Artist Point, Brown Derby, Tiffin's, and Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, plus a date night for my husband and I at either Le Cellier or Monsieur Paul. However, we haven't been able to secure any of the character meals that I was hoping to get: Akershus, 1900 Park Fair, Hollywood and Vine, and Chef Mickey's. I'm counting on some of these reservations opening up as we get closer based on what I've seen over the summer, checking a week or a few days out for that date. Do you think I'm likely to get most of these reservations that I'm hoping for this way? We'll be there for almost a full 9 days, so I'm pretty certain that we'll be able to use all of our credits in that time. Is this a situation in which you think the deluxe dining plan would be worth it? Just looking for an outsider's expert opinion. Also, an easier question: date night, Monsieur Paul or Le Cellier? Thanks so much. Katie is in It's a city in Pennsylvania. She didn't say how far away she is from me. She's new to this whole thing. It's Conshohocken. Conshohocken. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I have. Okay, I don't even say it. But I really don't know where it is. And I don't. For some reason, I'm thinking it's not that far from me, but I don't know. Yeah, so
it's a long one. It's just P.S. I'll definitely be contacting you guys next time we plan a Disney vacation. I wish I would have found you before booking this one. So thanks, Katie. We appreciate that so much. All right. So the question is, she put in the title of the message, deluxe dining, yay or nay? All right. With that, with what she has now and assuming she's going to be able to grab some of those other, like 1900 Park for Acre Shoes, Hollywood and Vine, Chef Mickey's, what would your advice be? Because, you know, this is what you do. What do you think?
So I would say, first of all, when checking for availability, check even for the days that you already have something scheduled. So if you were able to get California Grill for a certain night, don't be afraid to check for Acre Shoes that night and then see if you can move the California Grill around. Because oftentimes the signature restaurants have availability that some of the one credit service restaurants do not have. I will tell you, when we were just down there, it was like Tuesday night. It was actually Tuesday afternoon. We had walked around Food and Wine. It was at like 100 million degrees. We were hot. We came back to the pool at the beach club, like changed into our suits, ran to the pool. And Steve's like, what do you want to do tonight for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. We have, I didn't have anything planned. He's like, let me look. What, boom, what happened? We ended up at California Grill at 8:55 for 9 o'clock fireworks. So hello. Not a bad gig. I'm just going to say my husband knows what I like. So anyways, oftentimes the signature restaurants are going to have availability that you don't see. The other thing you can do is look at some of those character meals that may be a little less popular. When you're thinking about that, Tusker House has availability a lot of the times. Hollywood and Vine sometimes has some availability. Definitely looking at the resorts, that Ohana breakfast is a good one too to look for. So see if you have some availability in breakfast too. But the restaurants that you've chose, I mean, I think you're definitely looking at deluxe dining in that space. When you ask about do you want to do Monsieur Paul or Le Salier, I'm going to throw something else in the mix. Sorry. Neither of these are my favorite restaurants. I know. I heard the people. I heard the Le Salier fans.
Okay, hang on. Okay, this next 30 minutes or 30 seconds of the podcast is brought to you by Flying Fish on the Boardwalk. Go ahead. I know where this is going. This California Grill,
which,
you're
by
already
the
going
way,
there.
We ended up eating that too, and I didn't have a reservation. So I'll give you two choices that are in the Epcot area, but not actually in Epcot. And remember, they're both of the choices that you mentioned are two credit meals. And I think you can get a better two credit experience at either Yachtsman Steakhouse. If you're specifically looking for a steak, that's right there. Or one of my favorites, which Mike mentioned, which is Flying Fish. We had one of our favorite waiters. His name is Dizzy Izzy. We were there the other night and he recommended all kinds of stuff to us. But anyways, we just had the best time over there. And these are both going to be in the Epcot area since that's where it seemed like you wanted to be staying. And they're just a quick walk outside of the International Gateway. So just have always had a great experience at both of those restaurants. But go and enjoy. And of course, you need a romantic night out. So that's definitely.
What's that? I've never had a romantic date night on all these times I go to Walt Disney World. Never, ever have we gone without the kids. Not even for a night, I don't think. On our first anniversary, we went to Alfredo's. I remember that. But Pam was pregnant. She didn't feel well. So how romantic was that? You know what I'm saying? Like, she couldn't get the Caesar salad.
Well, we'll make
it
happen over marathon weekend then. Okay. Yeah, Anna and Paige are on duty.
Yeah, that's the time to have a romantic weekend. You got to run 48.6 miles, but let's go on a date night. Because you got
to
get up.
That's when you choose to be there.
I know. Yeah, you got to be up at 2:30. But let's go on a date tonight. Yeah, that's perfect.
That's anyway, right.
The chat was also throwing out. That's it. The chat was throwing out Narcoosies and the Boathouse as well. Both other great suggestions. Good stuff. That's why we love our chat. And hopefully, everyone's having a great time listening to the show live here today. But that's it for today's podcast. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And if you want to stay up to date on everything happening, both down at Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, and just the Disney company as a whole with the movies and everything else, just go by virtualmickey.com. This is a free iOS app. You know, when I am tempted to read the box of Cocoa Puffs when I'm having my morning breakfast, no, I pull out Theme Park News Disney Edition and I dribble the, you know, the leftover chocolate milk on my iPhone 7, but it's all good. It's waterproof. So, you know, I know what's going on. That's how I stay abreast of all the new news in the Disney community. So you can do the same. Again, Theme Park News Disney Edition. Download it today for your Cocoa Puff enjoyment over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, when you do your online shopping, we appreciate it so much when you use our Amazon affiliate link. That's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It is really, really helping us support the podcast. Thank you so much to everybody who's doing that online shopping through our link. I can't thank you enough for that. And please continue to do so. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike, and we've got a great Facebook page. Thanks to everybody who has been keeping us up to date on everything happening down at Walt Disney World during this historic storm. We appreciate that so much. Again, facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, well, we're going to be back again on Friday. We're going to kind of reflect on this past week and talk about, you know, kind of walk through what we think Disney did as far as being proactive with Hurricane Irma, you know, how they handled the situation when the storm was there. We'll also jump into the cruise line, how they handled the ships and the itinerary, you know, all that stuff that they had to consider there. So I think it'll be kind of a fun look back. Not fun, but I mean, it'll be something that it's going to be useful moving forward, because we know the situation will probably come up again. Now, we didn't have this happen very much, but of course, last year we had Matthew, and I think Disney learned a lot from the Matthew situation with Irma. So we're going to discuss that on Friday. So hope you'll come back and join us for that. But until then, it's time to get back to work. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Head back to work, make it a productive day, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.